Let us open with a word of prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, there is no doubt that the reason that you have brought us here this morning is to worship you. Our hearts are moved by all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts are moved by the time that we can give praise to you. Our hearts are moved by your love, which you show us each and every day, each minute of our lives, as we serve you. Father, at this time, as we are here this morning under the sound of your word, we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst of them. And I thank you, Lord, for that promise, that I know that you are here, that we all know that you are here. Pray this morning, Father, that this message that you have given me will be one that will strike the hearts of those that are here this morning, that you have prepared the hearts of those to hear it. I thank you, Father, for what I have learned from this message. Father, each time that we open your word, it should be a time of learning. And I thank you, Father, that I had this opportunity to learn and to bring this message this morning. So, Father, I give this time to you. I pray that you will bless it. For it's in Jesus' name I give you thanks. Amen. We have seen a lot this past week about the storms that have taken place. Harvey, especially Harvey in Houston, and the damage that Harvey has caused down there. If we all think back to about 2011, we can remember Sandy and how Sandy hit. We do know that when these type of storms are coming, there is a prediction. These meteorologists, they get very, very excited about the opportunity to tell us that we're going to get creamed with rain, with wind, with whatever it may be, even in the wintertime when it's going to be a storm and we're going to get a lot of snow. I've never seen people get so excited about tragedies that could be coming, but they do. It's part of their job. But these are the kind of storms that we face as the weather changes. But what about the storms that we face in our lives as Christians? If I asked you to raise your hand this morning, I'm not going to do that. And I asked you, is there anybody here who has not gone through some type of a storm in their Christian life? I doubt that there would be anybody who did not raise their hand. Couldn't do it. We as Christians, we go through these tough times, and there is a reason for them. And this morning, I'd like to look at storms. Not Harvey, not Sandy, but God in our storms. You know, people say that when there is a trial or a storm, it's a test of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a problem with the word test. I wasn't that great when I was in school with tests. So whenever you say test to me, I'm thinking I'm going to have to sit down and I'm going to get graded on it. And that still sticks in my mind to a certain degree. So when we are going through these things, is God testing us? Is he grading us? Is it a test of faith? Is Billy Bob getting an A? And is Maureen getting a D as God goes through these things that he brings into our lives? No. You see, I look at it as a lesson in faith when we go through these trials that we have faced. Now, when I read the word test and I went through it a little bit more, I read that the word test is used in describing the purification of metals. Now, when I read that, I thought back and I said, okay, well, maybe I'm really wrong about this test thing. Maybe I shouldn't be looking at it as being graded on it. Because when we think of purification of metals, it's removing impurities. And how does that happen? The metal is put to the heat, and it's a lot of heat. And as those impurities flow to the top, that's when they are taken away. And that, I think, is what God is looking to do in our lives when he brings those storms, if you will, to our lives. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25. I think it's a very familiar passage to all of us. Luke chapter 8. In verse 22, Now, keep in mind that Jesus was ministering to different places. He was going around from city to city and village to village. He was teaching in parables. He was just bringing the word to anyone actually who would listen. As they followed him as he preached, they listened to what he had to say. So we begin at verse 8. Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. A fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. The disciples came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And then he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Now, if we understand that Jesus is Lord over all, then we must trust him in the storms of our life. At the end of the story, we read the disciples were amazed at what had just transpired. "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" That was their question. They had no idea who he was. But this is the question I think that Luke wants us to consider this morning. Who then is this? And the answer, Jesus, Lord over all. In the beginning, Jesus spoke and created the universe. So it was no big deal then for him to speak to the waves, to speak to the wind, and have everything calm down and have them obey him. Yet the disciples looked and thought it was a miracle. We all know that Jesus is Lord, but do we apply that? Do we know that each and every day of our lives, as we go through the uncertainties of each day that sometimes we face, are we aware? Do we know that he is there? Do we know that he is Lord over all? We face a lot of different circumstances each and every day, different situations. Do we forget? Do we put it aside? Or is it just in the back of our mind? And then when we need to understand that and we need to know, then all of a sudden we remember and it comes to the front of our memory. So the Lord did for the disciples what he does for us every single day. The Lord led them into the storm. And when I went over this passage, I kind of missed this. I've read this passage a number of times. And over the years, I guess I missed this, that it was the Lord who led them into the storm. He said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." They got into the boat, all right? Did he know what he was leading them into? Absolutely he did. He knows everything about everything that's going on. He knows all things. It must have been some storm, though, because even these seasoned fishermen feared for their lives. They thought they were going to die. That's how severe the storm was. Now, you see, when serious storms hit in the lives of Christians, some will say, "The Lord didn't cause this, he allowed it." Others will say, "Satan, not God, brought this crisis or this storm into your life or into my life." They think that blaming Satan or by saying that God only allowed it, that they're preserving his love. Well, if they do this, though, they do it at the expense of his sovereignty. Let's look at the sovereignty of God for a minute and the definition of that. The sovereignty of God means that he has total control of all things past, present, and future. Nothing happens that is out of his knowledge and control. All things are either caused by him or allowed by him, for his own purposes and through his perfect will and timing. He is the only absolute, omnipotent ruler of the universe and is sovereign in creation. Now, I'm just going to pick just a couple of things out just to repeat them so that we don't miss that. He has total control of all things, past, present, and future. Nothing happens that is out of his knowledge and his control. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me a little bit of comfort. Because then I know that this is not chaotic things that are going on. that what is happening in this world or what is happening in my life or even what's happening in your life as you share things that are going on, that it's just not chaos. That it's controlled experiences. They are controlled situations, and God is the one who is controlling them. Now, in Isaiah chapter 45, the second half of verse 6 and verse 7, we read, "I am the Lord, and there is no other, the one forming light, creating darkness, causing well-being, and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these." The Bible is clear that God is both loving and sovereign. You will not get any comfort in storms by denying God's sovereignty. Now, does God use different means to bring forth his will in our life or a lesson in our life? Yes, he did. In fact, he used Satan in the case of Job. Those storms that Job went through, God allowed Satan to do that. So he does allow it at times. But remember that when we look at these verses, God clearly states he is Lord. There is no other. The one forming the light, creating the darkness, causing well-being, and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. You know, we can find comfort in storms. We recognize that God is in control, and we recognize his sovereignty and his unfailing love. Storms hit suddenly without warning. There was plenty of warning for this storm that took place down in Houston. People were told, this time, you got to get out. This is what's going to hit. Get your things together and get out of there. We want you to evacuate. People who didn't, they suffered. People who did, well, they still lost a lot, but at least they were safe. Sometimes in our lives, though, it's one moment, everything is good. Everything is fine. Everything is smooth. And then suddenly, something happens and there's a storm in our life. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a diagnosis that we didn't expect. Maybe we lose a loved one. The Lord takes them home. So it's not always smooth sailing. The time to develop resources to face a storm is before it hits. By the time we are ready to deal with it, and it's already there, it's too late. We have to be ready. So how do we do that? If we don't spend time with the Lord and the calm of life, we're not going to know how to trust him in the storms. We need to read the Bible. That's right. The Word of God can't encourage you or me unless we take time to study it and meditate on it. Then we need to think about the Lord's promises in his word and how he's proved his faithfulness to the saints in the past. How we, if we are in a time of a storm, we can look back at what has transpired in our life and know that God is there because he's answered prayer in the past. You will never receive all that God has for you if you allow yourself to doubt his promises. Storms hit believers. That's a fact. This storm hit those who were with Christ in the boat. It also hit those that were in other boats that Christ wasn't in. If you look at Mark, the story is recorded there in Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. It says, "Leaving the crowd, they took him," meaning Jesus, "along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him." Now, if this were a fairy tale, we might read that the boat that Jesus was in sailed very smoothly. And that the boat that the other disciples were in, they were taking on water and their boats were going down. But it's not. It's not a fairy tale. And even though Jesus was in that boat, those disciples, who again I repeat were seasoned fishermen, were in fear of their lives. The fact is, Christians are not magically exempted from the storms of life. Sometimes we feel that because we're Christians and because we're serving the Lord, that we're not going to go through these storms. Well, that is proven to be not factual. Think of all the missionaries that this chapel supports. I'm sure some names are going to pop into your head right now of storms that they've gone through. They're serving God in another country. And yet, they're going through these storms. God is bringing them through them. Some think that serving Christ sends them special protection from these storms. And obviously that is not true either. Just because you are serving the Lord doesn't mean that you are not going to be brought into a storm by the Lord. Storms hit obedient believers who are serving Christ. This storm didn't hit the disciples because they were disobedient. This storm hit the disciples because they were being obedient. The Lord told them to get into the boat. And he got in the boat with them. So being obedient, he took them right into the storm. Led them right into this thing face on. In verse 22, let us go over to the other side of the lake. That's exactly what Jesus had said. These men who had committed their lives to serve Christ obeyed, and he led them to the storm, right into the middle of it. In the same way, obediently serving Christ may place you or me right in the middle of a storm. Could the disciples have avoided the storm? Sure they could have. By not getting in the boat. By staying on shore. But they would have been disobedient. The Lord checked out and seemed to leave them alone in a storm. Yeah, he did. This is the only incident in the Bible that mentions Jesus sleeping. And what a time to fall asleep. It's right in the middle of the storm. Where is he? He's in the back of the boat taking a nap. Now, there are people I know. In fact, I'm one of those. I can sleep through anything. I mean, when I was younger, my mother would be vacuuming. I could be sleeping right in the room when she's vacuuming, and it wouldn't bother me. If Joyce were here, she could tell you that there are times when she hears these things going on. I'm sound asleep. The house could burn down. The house could blow up. And I wouldn't even know what was going on because I am sound asleep. Well, apparently, Jesus could sleep through a storm as well. It'd be one thing if he had said to them, "Men, a storm is coming. Tie everything down. It's going to be rough, but don't worry about it. We're going to get through it." Hello? That would have been an entirely different situation for the disciples. They would have been warned about what was coming. But that's not what the Lord wanted to do. Just when they need Jesus the most, where was he? In the back of the boat, sound asleep. Have you ever felt like that, that in the midst of a storm, you're all by yourself, that the Lord may not be there? You get into it, and it seems that the Lord just checked out, and he's nowhere to be found. You're bailing like crazy, the waves are winning, the boat is starting to sink, you're about to go under, and you wonder, "Lord, where are you?" I can tell you from personal experience, I've been there. It's not an easy thing to go through. And I'm sure as I look around and I see different people in here that I know some of the things that some of you have gone through. And I'm thinking to myself that probably you have done that too, that you have gone through that. You've gotten to that point where you say, "Lord, where are you? What is going on?" In reality, the Lord was with them as he is with us. He was with them in the storm. You see, we get into it, and it seems like the Lord checked out and left us there. But often he waits until we are at our wits' end before he comes to our, if you will, rescue. And then we see how great our need really is. But even before the disciples called on him, Jesus was there with them in the boat, going through the storm with them. He promised us he will never leave us or forsake us. When I read in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, this is what Paul said. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That tells me that there is no trial or storm that is going to separate any one of us from the love of God. It's just not going to happen. But what about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And their obedience, they ended up in a different kind of storm, Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, three men were thrown into the furnace, but he saw four men loosed and walking around. I think that fourth man was the Lord. He didn't leave those faithful men alone in the storm. He stood with them in the flames. That, my friends, should be an encouragement for all of us, that he is going to stand with us no matter what it is that we're going through. Even though we may not feel his presence, he's there. Whenever you're in a storm, you need to know that he is there. The first thing we must do in the storms of life is acknowledge that Jesus is Lord over all, even the storms that we face in our life. Then we must trust in the storms. Acknowledging the fact that Jesus is there and that he is Lord, okay, I think a lot of people can do that. But then it comes down to trusting him. Actually saying, this is what I need to do. Lord, I know you are there. I know that you will get me through this. Now, the lesson comes through with Jesus questioning the faith of the disciples. In verse 25, Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" Let me tell you something. If there was ever a time when panic would be okay, it would be when you're in a boat, you're in the middle of a storm, and you're taking on water. I know I would be in a panic. I'm not too crazy about being on the water anyway. When I was younger, I didn't have a problem with that, but as I get older, not the same. And yet Jesus rebuked not only the storm, but he rebuked the disciples' faith, their lack of it. The fact is, storms often expose how we are going to react. They often expose that we are not really trusting in the Lord. The disciples could cope with normal storms. They probably thought, you know what, hey, this is no big deal. We can handle this. But then they found out that they couldn't. They were trusting in themselves. And the moment we do that, we're going to come up short. We're not going to make it. Many times a storm or crisis shows a side of ourselves that we didn't know we even had. And the Lord uses those areas to reveal new things to us. We need to trust him and learn to do that if we're not already. Many times storms show us things that we don't see in calmer times. I know I've been there. I had the opportunity to serve this country in Vietnam. And you talk about times when you didn't expect things that were coming. Wow. You talk about a time to trust the Lord. I mean, really? That was it. You had no idea what was coming, when it was coming, or how long it was going to last. You only knew that you were going to be in the middle of something at some point while you were serving there. And it would be probably every day. And it did happen every day. In the calmer times, it was no big deal. But as soon as that siren went off and we knew that we were going to be bombed, it was time to run. It was time to get moving. Storms reveal our distorted view of the problem. We read that the disciples cried, "Master, Master, we are perishing." I think I would have done the same thing. The boat's going down. I'm not going down. Come on, give me a break. They thought they were all going to drown. But wait a minute. Who was on board with them? God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There he was. No way he was going to let that boat sink. Did they see that? No. Because of their not looking to the Lord and looking to themselves, they misread the problem. They weren't ready. So their panic distorted their view of the problem. If you know a policeman, if you know a fireman, if you know any first responder, if you know a kindergarten teacher, okay? If you know a first grade teacher, you know that panic is not something that works well in any situation, whether it's teaching kindergarten, whether it's being a police officer on a call or whether it's fighting a fire. You cannot panic. And just as I was telling you that in Vietnam, that was the thing you didn't want to do, was panic. I'm just going to tell you a story about one person who did panic. He was new. Our barracks, we had two floors to our barracks. We were on the second floor. There were 4x4 posts right in the middle that held the roof up. There was about four of them. All the beds were up against each side. When the siren went off, you got up and you ran to the bunker because you know that there were going to be incoming rounds. We must have told this young man 5 times, do not get up and run. We're going to hear the siren at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Take your time, get up, put your boots on, and go to the bunker. He must have thought that we were just trying to pull a fast one on him. The first time that the siren goes off, it's 2 a.m. It's dark. The rest of us are getting up. We've been there a few months. We're putting our boots and stuff on. I see him come by, and he's running. You know what he ran into? That 4x4 post right in the middle of the building. He hit that thing so hard and fell back. We had to carry him to the bunker. He was unconscious. He knocked himself completely out. Panic took over. He could have hurt himself even more seriously. Picked him up and took him out. The last thing you want to do is you want to panic. Now, is fear good at times? Yes, it is. I think at times fear causes us to be a little bit more safer about the things that we do. I think sometimes fear causes us to respond quickly, to take action for our own safety and maybe even the safety of a loved one. But when fear causes us to panic, that's when fear is wrong. We need to keep our head in a game. Level head. Think clearly in the light of God's promises that He is with us always. And no matter what's going to happen, it's all in His control. You know, we think that someone develops some kind of a disease, maybe it's cancer. That's the one that seems to be taking the lives of a lot of people. And the person is gone. The Lord's taken them home. I know a lot of people question why. Why'd the Lord take them? And many years ago, I was talking to a teen who had just lost a very close friend. And that young lady asked me, why? And I said, is this friend of yours a Christian? Was he serving the Lord? Was he doing all that God had asked him to do? I knew who she was talking about, and I knew the answers to those questions. They were all yes. And I said to her, it was time. His work on this earth was done, and God called him home. That's God being in control of the situation. When the time is right, He is going to do what is right. And it's going to be for His honor and His glory, not for ours. We need to trust Him in all situations. Storms can reveal a distorted view of ourselves. Again, Master, Master, we are perishing. That didn't include Jesus. They were only concerned about themselves. They thought they were going to drown. They didn't care. Now, if they weren't concerned and they weren't distorted about the view they had of themselves, maybe they would have said, hey guys, we know we're in the middle of this storm. Maybe we're going to die. But you know what? If this boat goes down, Jesus is going to go down with it. And He's not going to allow that to happen. But because of their panic, because of their distorted view of what was going on, first and foremost, they were concerned about their lives and their lives alone. I would like to think, as I look around this room, that each and every one of us would not have done that. That knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ was right there, that we would not have gone to that state of panic and ran and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. Maybe it would have been, Master, Master, We could use your help right now. Because that's all they needed, was him to get up, rebuke the wind, rebuke the waves, and everything would have been calm. Storms reveal our distorted view of the Lord Jesus. Again, in verse 5, or verse 25, disciples ask in awe, who then is this? Well, see, that was their problem. They didn't realize who Jesus was. If they had, they wouldn't have been so amazed at what happened. They would have understood. What they did was they underestimated his power. You see, at times we try to solve our problems by factoring everything into the equation except the power of Christ. When I ask this question, I'm not looking for hands, but how many of you, this includes myself, have tried to solve a problem on our own without thinking about first going to the Lord? And how did that work out? Not too good. It never does, because we can't do it on our own. We can't. We need to include the Lord. We can't underestimate his power. So our distorted view of the problem clouds our vision. And when it clouds our vision, then we fail to see the marvelous person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what lifts us up. That's why by faith we must always recognize two things in our trials. One, the sovereignty of God, and two, his unfailing love. The storms should drive us to trust in the Lord of the storm. Were the disciples really calling to Jesus in faith? If they were, he wouldn't have rebuked them for their lack of faith. What they needed most in this situation was to trust in the living God. And that's what we need to do in all the storms that we face, is to trust the living God. If we don't know how to trust God in storms of life, we need to learn, because we are commanded to walk by faith and be built up in faith. The better we know the Lord, the better we can trust him. Again, I refer to verse 25. Who then is this? Clearly, this Jesus is fully human. He had a body that got so exhausted that he went to the back of the boat, laid down, and fell asleep. But not only is our Lord fully human, he is fully divine. He merely had to speak the word, and the waves obeyed, and the wind obeyed, and the storm was gone. Nothing is too difficult for the living God. And the better we know him, the better we trust him in our storms. The bigger the storm, the more the Lord is glorified. When we trust him, we always need to keep in mind that we are to glorify God no matter what our situation is, no matter what we're going through. The glory needs to go back to him. The more we trust in him, the more we will know about the storms that we will face in the future. The more we trust him, the more we'll be able to trust him in the next storm. It's one storm at a time. The wind and the water obey Jesus without question. Do we obey and trust Jesus without question? Not always. Notice that first the disciples feared the storm, then they feared the Lord. Their fear of the storm was due to their lack of faith. Their fear of the Lord came with their awareness of who he was and his awesome power. You see, in our own strength, we lack the ability to meet life's challenges. So God provides what we need. Operative word there, need. Not what we want. How many of you, when you were children, had something that you wanted? Maybe a pair of sneakers. You went to your mom, your dad, and said, look, hey, can I have this? This would be great. I see parents shaking their head now with younger children. They're probably coming to them now. All right? Some of you with teenagers are probably having that same situation coming to you. Here they are. Mom, Dad, I want this. First it's, can I have it? Then it's, all right, I want it. And then it goes to, I need it. Right? All right, I know, I was there. I used to do the same thing. I used to run to my parents. I really need this. And then when the question was, well, why do you need it? Well, then I stammered and backed off because I didn't really have a reason why I needed it. But God only supplies us with the things we need. We're not going to get wants from him. We're going to get those things that we need to help us get through whatever it is that we are facing. Our suffering is never a surprise to the Lord. He knows everything that we're going through. More than that, he's orchestrating our circumstances for his glory and our benefit according to his goodwill. Wow. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if that doesn't encourage you, there's something wrong with you. Really. Knowing that God is orchestrating the whole thing, that you have absolutely nothing to worry about, that all you have to do is trust him, and you will get through it. You will see the other side. That should be something that should encourage you no matter what storm you're going through, no matter what you're facing, that you can smile through it, that you can be fearful as you go through it, knowing that this is what God is doing. One reason for storms is cleansing. Because of our own flesh nature and the self-absorbed world we live in, it's easy to develop selfish attitudes and ungodly habits. The pressures that bear down us from these stormy situations are meant to bring these impurities to our attention and direct us to a place of repentance. Our trials are intended to purify and guide us back to godliness, not ruin our lives. Remember what I said in the beginning about the word test? Purification. There it is, right there. These situations are to bring these impurities to our attention so we recognize them, so we know what they are, so we can deal with them, so we can get them out of our lives, so we can give them over to the Lord. Lord, these are all yours. I can do nothing of myself. Please take these from me and allow me to do what I need to do to glorify and honor you, to live a life that I know you want me to live. A second reason for storms is so we'll be compassionate and bring comfort to others. I didn't realize this until probably about a year ago. I'm not going to go into all the circumstances because I don't want to use the person's name, but a person that I know is going through a tough time, and they're going through a storm. They've been going through the storm for about 2 years, and they have a smile on their face. They go to work every single day. They come home. They tend as much as they can to their family. And they start all over the next day. How could that not be something that would be a comfort to others? God works in our lives not for the sole intention of building us up. It's designed to reach a world that doesn't recognize or acknowledge him. The Lord uses our challenges to equip us for serving each other, not only the saved, but the unsaved as well. As we experience suffering, we learn about God's comforting presence and his strength to help us endure. Our testimony during difficult times will then be real. We won't be faking it. Why? Because we will have endured something that somebody else may be enduring right now. Those we minister will know we understand their pain. And when I see this individual talking to other people, those other people are listening very intently. They understand what this individual is saying because they know that this person is going through a tough time themselves. And you can relate to that. And that's why sometimes we go through these storms, to show that compassion for others. What credibility will we have with people in crisis if we never experienced the need ourselves? We could not relate to them. A third reason we go through storms, as God promised us, he'll provide a path through any trial or storm we face. Think about that one. You're standing right there. There's nothing but woods in front of you, but God's going to make that path, and all we have to do is follow him. The disciples probably wondered how long that storm was going to last and whether they would make it safely to shore. But if they had somehow avoided that storm, they would have missed a demonstration of Jesus' power over the sea and the wind. See, God wants to make his power known through our trials as well. Through storms, the fourth and most important thing he gives us is an awareness of his presence. At first, the disciples believed they were alone in a terrifying storm. You know, we may not sense God's presence when we're going through a storm or a crisis, but he promises that he's with us, and he will be with us to the end. The assurance that the Lord will never leave provides immediate comfort to each and every one of us. There's no joy in suffering. But in the hands of the Almighty God, trials and storms become tools, and he uses them. He uses hardship to shape believers into people he intends them to be. Jesus allowed the disciples to experience the fear and anxiety of being in a boat on a raging sea. He permitted them to suffer because he had something more to teach them, something more important. He wanted the disciples to recognize their own helplessness, his sufficiency, and his power, and their dependence on him, just as Jesus wants you and I to do. Now, am I saying that every storm you go through is going to have a happy ending? Well, I would think that God knows what we need. And it may not be a happy ending, but it will be an ending that will be one that we can look back on and we can glorify him in. The lessons that we learn could be very small lessons, but they're lessons. When I looked at Job and I saw what Job was going through, when I looked at Daniel, a man of prayer, three times he's praying. Where did he end up? In a lion's den. How much more like God could you be? How much more of a servant to God could you be? How much more could you glorify God than standing up to those around you and praying three times a day, knowing that your fate might be being eaten by a lion? But yet God used that. Daniel went to the lion's den. And the king, when Daniel came out, God shut the mouths of the lions. The king realized just who Daniel's God was. So you see, God uses it in different ways. You and I, yeah, we're going through the storm. Maybe there is something that we need to learn. There's always a lesson. But we need to trust him. We need to believe that he is in control, that he is a sovereign God. And there is nothing that happens in your life or mine that is not in our best interest in the end. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks to you for your sovereignty. We are so thankful that we serve a living God, a God who experienced things that we go through while he was upon this earth. Anxiety. Father, we have fears. We have anxiety because we are human. But I pray, Father, that this morning, that as we have gone through this story, that we would see how important it is for us to just simply trust you, to acknowledge your sovereignty, to acknowledge your power, and to acknowledge your love in our lives. That while we're in the midst of any storm, that, Father, I pray that we would not panic. I pray, Father, that instead of looking around and trying to solve it ourselves, that we would just turn to you. Heavenly Father, you are the reason why we are here on this earth. You are the reason why we joyously serve, because we want to be what you want us to be. Take our lives, Father, and use them. May we glorify and honor you in every single situation that we face each and every day. Now, Father, be with us for the rest of this day. Bless us, watch over us, keep us in your care, I pray. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.